How's it going, guys? Welcome to another episode of Get Your Nerd On with your boy P90, and we are about to get into so much shit. I am happy to be back, and I hope you guys are excited, because we got shit going down, dog. It's about to be, I don't even know how to, I'm excited. So, let's spin this joint, let's get right to it.
Catch me in the sky, I'll be soaring like the solar system. Super duper fly, ain't a villain who can stop my mission. Who you dissing for? You better stop before I get to fishing. Catch a body, I could leave you missing like a super villain. Catch me in the sky, I'll be soaring like the solar system. Super duper fly, ain't a villain who can stop my mission. Who you dissing for? You better stop before I get to fishing. Catch a body, I could leave you missing like a super villain.
Alright, guys, so, like I said, there's a lot to talk about. We've got catching up with me. We've got some of the spooky stuff that I've been watching. We definitely have some Xbox news to talk about. We'll have some PlayStation news to talk about. We're going to have a lot of news to talk about. But I guess we should start with catching up like always. Get into the spooky. And then we'll figure it out from there. I kind of want to leave y'all hanging just a little bit, so before we get there, you know, just keep thinking. Oh man, we're gonna get to some news. My boy is back. Well, listen. First off, I've been watching a lot of horror movies, man. So we can get into the horror movie stuff, cause I seen Saw X. I seen The Exorcist Believer. I still haven't seen The Nun 2 yet. Maybe I'll see it before I finish this podcast and add it in here. I haven't read much. I started the cyberpunk book. Started this new Stephen King book called Holly. Man, if you read Stephen King, you know who Holly is. And I've been playing a shit ton of games. Some of them spooky too. But we'll get into all that one by one. First, I have been good. I hope you all have been well. I've been having so much fun in life. This is me being sarcastic. This podcast needs to pay me, but it's all right. I'm gonna make it work. Why? Because I love what I do. But I've been all right. A lot of things passed in a while. My life day passed. My brother came to visit. One of the homies moved out here. Yeah, a lot of stuff has happened since the last time we chatted, y'all. But, I guess let's start with these, like I said, let's start with these movies. Not I guess, we're going to start with these movies. So, let's start with the Saw X. So, like I said, we've seen Saw X. That movie was absolutely wonderful. Yeah, there's going to be spoilers in all of these talks as of right now. So it's spooky season. I've been doing 31 days of spook. I'm trying to do 62 days, although I missed a couple of days for the backup movie. I'm just gonna like binge some stuff on the next coming Saturdays and Fridays. So Saw X, absolutely wonderful film, really cool. It was a prequel. It takes place, I think, after Saw 2, I believe it is. And it's John Kramer getting his cancer checked out and cured. But what really happened is niggas like they was playing with my boy, bro. They lied to him, and he found out that they lied to him. That nigga was shocked. That nigga was shook. So you know what he did? That boy set up traps. He kidnapped everybody involved with the lie, and he put them niggas on their ass, yo. Ooh, oh my god, dog, that shit was so fucking crazy. Cuz had like, he had this trap that had like this Aztec design to it. This dude had to dig inside his head and put like brain juice. I mean, not brain juice. He had to put like brain matter on his plate to save him and shit. Like, it was crazy. The chick who scammed everybody was wild too. It's crazy because like she scammed him because he was Jigsaw, but she was also scamming niggas. But she just like, oh shit, John Kramer? Yeah, I'm gonna scam him. But it was stupid. It was like she was testing him. And he passed because he really fucked him up. Like, that shit was great. It was a dope movie. It's definitely in my top five of the Saw franchise. I really loved what they did. The traps were awesome. They were all confined to one room. But it made me like, now it makes me think, like, I want to see like another group of people go through like a Saw maze, but I want it to be like all the survivors. Someone brought up that like all the survivors should go back, and I was just like, you know what? That would work. If, and only if, all the survivors were like, yeah, fuck Jigsaw. That didn't teach me shit. That was just fucked up. So I'm gonna go back to doing what I was doing or do something even worse. So like they're not even caring about this. They just think he's a psychopath, not someone who's trying to show them something. So now they go back to being the shitty people that they always were. And then he co takes them again, be like, yo, I want to play a game. I gave all of you a chance to show me that you could be something different. You survived and you decided to stay the same. I will give you one more chance since I'm such a generous person. And it's just like, dun dun dun, dun dun dun, dun dun dun, dun dun. Actually, it would. Maybe it could just be murderous because it's like, there's, yes, his followers believe in his shit, but maybe it could be one of his followers just like, nah, I'm on a murderous rampage because I think this is cool. Like, it's great to punish people. I don't know. It would be cool to just somehow bring all the survivors back that aren't working with Jigsaw. It was really cool. He got his revenge, and he made like a friend in this little boy, and even their relationship was fucking awesome the way that they did that. Because it was very unexpected. I didn't know that the boy was in it. Like, you know, Jigsaw is a fucking mastermind thinker, but like, you're just like, holy shit, yo, this nigga really be thinking, bro. Fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Like, loved every second of that film. That shit was good. Watch The Exorcist: True Believer. I think that the movie started off pretty cool. It was started off sad. It set like a tone, and it kind of this couple was on vacation, and their photographers taking photos and stuff like that. And I think it was cool because it kind of hit on the same thing that the normal Exorcist did, which was like it was an explorer. He found something he shouldn't have found, right? In this film, it's not about finding something that they shouldn't have found, but it was just like they were out exploring, enjoying their time. This pregnant wife and her husband, she ends up dying because of something in the film, and then it's just a single dad, and his daughter misses the mother so much, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? So, at some point, the daughter decides that she wants to try and go talk to mom. She just wants to see her in some way, and so her and her friend do this crazy little ritual thing, and then they get lost for like 3 days. The film is slow. It's kind of building up the crazy, letting you know that the girls are possessed now and whatnot. And then it gets to the last act, and at some point, and then that's where everything is like juicy fire, fucking awesome. Whoo, that last act was phenomenal. That last act was a little unpredictable. Like, I'm sure you could take some guesses. I'm sure you could predict it, but if you allow yourself to just watch the film and shut the fuck up, it's extremely unpredictable, and it's just great. And I was taken aback. I was just like, oh shit, yo, that's fucking crazy. Like, the demon tricked the people into choosing which girl was going to get fully possessed and murdered, and their soul dragged down. Like, I cannot wait for more Exorcists. The only thing is, I think at some point, since Exorcist is, it's not large like the other franchises that are large now, but there's enough Exorcist films where I think they should delve into the hell aspect just a little bit. It's like, all right, who is this person that is possessing people? I still gotta watch the second one and the third one, but still, I feel like We need a little bit of that. Like, the next time we get an exorcist, I want to see the people who are getting possessed. I want to see what they see, how they feel during the possession, what the things that they do that get them there. I feel like if they added that in this film, it would have made the middle a little bit more interesting, and it would have really gotten that 4-star that it deserved. I think the acting was great. I think the lessons learned in it were fucking phenomenal. Like, I think this is one of the coolest horror movies in a while. Truly, truly was enjoying that film, like, a lot, dog. That's gonna be a really important film in horror. Maybe not the most important film, but I feel like if more people watch it and they're just very open with it, it could become a very good piece in horror where people are just like, yeah, that movie, that shit was good. That was good. I liked it. I feel like I've seen something else in the movie theaters since then. I'll wait till there should be a Halloween episode. So I'll wait until that episode comes out to tell you all the films that I watched. Like, we'll just do a whole segment on specific things that I watched during spooky time. Speaking of spooky time, there's a new Goosebumps out right now on Hulu and Disney Plus. New Goosebumps show. I'm gonna watch it once I get this move on officially, because it looks really interesting. So I think that we should fuck with it. I think everyone should fuck with it. I think R.L. Stine is one of the coolest. And that's not all. Speaking of spooky, I read a spooky book called Holly. Boy, I want to start a book club so bad. Just like a, I don't know, just like a book group. Like that. Books are great, man. I just want to start a book group. I need to run into some people and just be like, oh my God, yo, that book in your hand is dope. And then just make friends with them somehow that way. Like, I really, really just want to, I just want a book group of some sort, bro. Books are awesome, but it feels like you don't meet too many people who read them and want to talk about them. But I read this book by Stephen King called Holly, and it's phenomenal. I'm not going to say anything about it because I don't want to spoil it for anyone in the house, because I'm speaking pretty loudly right now. But boy, that book is good. It's anxiety inducing. I think everyone should read it. If you haven't read Stephen King books, Holly is a great book. You can start there, but there are references to other things that you're probably going to want to read. So I would say, like, read Mr. Mercedes, and I would say read If It Bleeds, because, not Mr. Mercedes. Sorry. Well, yes, Holly's in Mr. Mercedes. Holly is definitely in If It Bleeds. And, I think The Outsider is its own book as well. I know it's a TV show, and you could watch that for some Holly, but definitely should read Mr. Mercedes and If It Bleeds, because those two books have Holly in it. And also, Mr. Mercedes is fucking good, dog. That story was a wild chase ride. Like, I loved every second of that film. Every second. I can't remember off the top of my head if there was anything else that I seen that would, like, immediately talk about. So I guess that we'll say that is that for now. So I guess we can get into, let's see, spooky games I've played. I played Lies of P. That's a spooky game. It was Pinocchio in, like, a Bloodborne type setting. Really, really enjoyed it. I think it was a fantastic game. I give it, like, an 8 out of 10, really. I think the only thing I didn't like was, like, the random double health bar bosses that came up, like, during the whole last half. It got a little annoying. And there was a point where I was just like, I can't beat this shit. There's this, oh my God, there's this chick, and she just kicks your ass. And I'm just like, ah, I don't know if I could beat this, man. But I ended up smacking her shit. Like, whew. I was just like, I'm just going to throw shit at you. So I just threw hella shit at her. Just kept throwing things at her. It was pretty great. It was fun. But Lies of P is a good game. I recommend it. It's pretty spooky. You got some really creepy looking creatures in that thing, and some really freaky puppets that are trying to kill you. Definitely gets an 8 out of 10. I can't wait for the DLC that they plan to drop or something more. I'm gonna play the game over again from the top because there's two endings. So I'm pretty excited for that. Let's see. I'll share a favorite horror memory with you guys too. When I met the Chainsaw Massacre as a kid, one day my dad and my uncle took me to go trick-or-treating, and this was back when trick-or-treating was fire. Like, when I say fire, I mean fire, bro. Every house would be spooked the fuck up. You even in the hood, if you go inside the apartments, people had their houses spooked up. Like, this is when spooky season was at the illest, yo. When I was a kid, I understand when people say that the season doesn't feel like spooky. I'm changing that in my household, yo. When I get my crib next year, spook the fuck out of everything, yo. Spook the shit. But yeah, so we went to this one place, real nice neighborhood, bunch of white people, like super fire decorations all over the place. I don't remember what the house looked like, but boy, I remember I was walking up that stoop to go get some candy. Next thing you know, this dude, real ass chainsaw, bro. Yang. I never heard run nigga so hard in my life. I always thought that was a joke. Boy, I ran the fuck down them goddamn that goddamn driveway, bro. So quick. I ain't want to go back and get my candy, bro. I didn't. My dad was like, "Yo, chill." He pushed me up, and then the dude was just like, "Hey, it's cool, it's cool." Brought the candy to us. We got the candy. That was an ill day, bro. That was an ill day. And to do that with a real chainsaw? To play with some tool? Nigga, that's crazy. That boy crazy. But that was a real chainsaw. That shit was spooky. But yeah, that's a spooky season update for y'all. And we can get into this news because we got some real fire news with y'all, man. So, welcome to season 6. Let's get this spook on. Well, now I guess we could get the news on.
Guys, so on to the newses. We're going to start with the gaming section as always. I am not too sure if you guys heard, but ex what well, you speaking of heard, you might hear a little noise in the background. That is the little girl. Me little baby. But anyway, I don't know if you guys heard, but X Defiant is on pause indefinitely. I don't know what's been going on with that studio, but apparently, the beta came out, people played the beta, and people thought it was pretty neat and it was pretty cool and whatnot. But I guess there might have been too many changes, or it didn't seem sustainable enough at the moment, which is kind of surprising that they put all this work into this game, and now it's just like, yeah, no, we're kind of done with this. It's like, oh, all right. Well, not done, but like it's just on pause. So it's like, wow. I really wonder why that happened. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But that reminds me that there's a rumor going around that Naughty Dog's factions mode for The Last of Us has been canceled because it was deemed unfit to succeed in the current climate as it is. And I guess they didn't want to put more money down on it. But that's a rumor. That one, I don't have any confirmation. Not even one super reliable source. It's just one of those people who said sources say. So there's that. But we'll see if that's true and how that goes in the coming months, you know. New PS5 Slim revision models have been announced. Detachable disk drive, and it's very similar to the last one. It's just slimmer and shorter. It's like PlayStation 5 on a diet. I call it that personally, but it has one big downside. If you're going to the digital, honestly, whether you ever use a disc or not, I would say just pay for the disc version, because just listen to this. So the new digital version is $450. The disc version is $500. And the detachable disc drive is going to run you $80 if you get it separately. And a vertical stand is going to be $30. So purchasing a digital one, and assuming you're later going to decide maybe you'll get like one physical game or two because you're like really excited for it, or it's something you just don't mind having, or even if you someone gives you a movie or something and you're just like, yeah, you know, I kind of want this movie, you got to pay $80 for a new disc player. I think that is disgusting and crazy, and it's just like, yeah, guys, you may as well just get this. Even Sony's like, you may as well get this. It's either you get this or you just stay digital. And if everyone just stays digital, we will just not create disc drives. And I think that is extremely upsetting, extremely sad, and it brings me to my next really, really annoying point, which is that Best Buy is planning to stop selling physical media in the Q1 of 2024. No more movies and TV shows and any disc music that they might possibly still have. And honestly, that is one of the most upsetting things that I've heard this year. Everyone who's been a longtime fan of this podcast knows that I absolutely love physical video games and physical media and such, and I buy DVDs still. I mean, I'm going to end up getting them off Amazon exclusively now, but it's upsetting because it's just leaning towards that stupid digital future. And listen, if you like it because it's convenient and whatnot, I respect it and I get it. I just feel like everybody should fight for each other and just be like, yeah, you know, I don't need it. But like, people, they like that. They use that. It's cool. And it's wonderful. It's so much better, in my opinion, to open up a cover, look at the case and whatnot, put the CD in, be like, yo, this is fire. Like, there's just too many awesome things. There's collector's editions with physical things. Physical media is just great. It's nice having that library to look at and be happy about and really see what you have, opposed to just scrolling on a digital screen of shit you don't actually own, because it can be easily locked to a license. Like, all right, for instance, I get a game or a movie, I can just share it however I want, right? I don't have to go through no extra steps to rip it or nothing. I just have to share it, give it to another friend with a DVD player, or give them my DVD player if they have Xbox. Everybody has a system nowadays, so like, just give it to them, and that's cool. Now, I was trying to share an audiobook with my partner, and when I did, it said I can share it, but I have to activate my account on her computer in order for her to put it on her phone. And I was like, alright, that's alright, that's simple, but wow, that's interesting that even though I downloaded this file as is, I still have to log in a way. Like, it's programmed in a way where I have to log in order for them to verify that it belongs to the person trying to use it. That's basically how digital games are now. If you're offline and you try and start a game without making the system the home system, it's going to be like, hey, do you own this game though? Like, we're not too sure. We have to do a check. And see, people act like they're not worried because they have internet, their internet hasn't gone down yet, or they haven't experienced anything that annoyed them with a digital-only purchase, and I respect that. That's fine. You just haven't had a reason to dislike it. But once you do, then it's going to be like, shit, that was inconvenient. What the fuck? Wow, I'm looking at my omnibus. I did not know that Blackest Night was that large of a comic. Damn. Anyway, moving on. There's a psychological horror game called Don't Scream, and it challenges you to play for 18 minutes without screaming. And if you scream, you'll be forced to reset. It's actually really cool of a concept, and I think That is like one of the smartest things ever, because playing horror video games is actually kind of freaky. Like, you can easily just get immersed in a horror game and allow it to freak you out. So that says a lot. It's really clever, because think about it. You're immersed in this game. It's easier to scream. Like, it's not like a movie. Like, movies, it's easy to ignore and just be like, yeah, you know, that's not scary. But when you're playing a game and you're controlling everything, you don't know what's happening, but it's moving at your pace, but you don't know when things are gonna happen. There's no real ominous music to really point out when something's gonna happen. It's gonna be hard not to scream. Also, I played Baldur's Gate 3. I'm not sure if I ever got a chance to tell you guys, but I started it. I've only gotten like 3 hours into it, and I think it's genuinely a phenomenal game. Fantastic. It is great. It is worth all the scores that it is getting. And that's all I really have, because I haven't gotten too far into it. But that leads me into something else. Spider-Man is currently sitting at a 91 right now, and it comes out on Friday. Hopefully, I can get a new PlayStation by then. I had to sell mine. Shit is rough out here right now. But hopefully, I can get my PlayStation on Friday, and then I can get Spider-Man, and I will absolutely give you guys that off the dome episode, because we definitely need that at a decent time. And I know that that one will be a really big, popular one that you guys are probably going to be looking forward to. So I'm excited to give you guys that. I'm excited to play. It looks really good. And I seen a Spiral in one of the demos, and that Spiral, it looks like the Null Carnage symbol, the new symbol for basically red symbiotes and shit and venoms and all that crap, or Clintar. So if we get to see Carnage in there, oh boy, I'm gonna be so excited. That is literally my absolute favorite Spider-Man character in all of Spider-Man, dog. Carnage is like the best character. There's nothing better than Carnage. Come on now. Some recent games that I've played and will be doing a off the dome review of, if it's not off on there already: Starfield, Lies of P, Ravenlock, and Mortal Kombat 1. Starfield is pretty good game. Absolutely, I'm enjoying it. I want to say I gave it a 7, and it's like a high 7 though. It misses the 8 and the 9 and 10 because it does lack a lot of exploration in certain areas, but the main destinations, that's honestly filled with pretty much a lot of stuff, and it just feels like you just go to a planet. It's like, wow, go to this planet. Like, we really don't know if anything's here. There might not be anything here. But I think it would be cool to have some secret civilizations laying around. I didn't explore everything. There's a lot going on in that game. But it'd be cool to have some real secret civilizations, people buried under the ground and stuff like that. I think they could have did like some real creepy things, like how GTA left mad Easter eggs in that world of theirs. And then the flying is cool, but like, it's an endless void. Although you can fly to planets technically, but it's like an 8-9 hour flight, and I think it's cool, but I don't think it was fully intentional, and that's where I think they fail. I think if they intentionally installed these things, it would have been great. If they pushed it back, it's a big release, and it's a fantastic game, and it's lovely. It's great that it released now, because people are enjoying it. But I think if it waited like another year and they expanded on a lot of those places, or at least prepared some DLC that would do that in this coming year, then I think that shit would slap like super hard, because there's just so much you can do when you open yourself up to what Starfield opened itself up to. So hopefully it really does get supported for multiple years,
because it would benefit from it, and it totally deserves it. There's just too much that you can do. We already talked about Liza P. Ravenlock is a really cute game. Super simple combat, but I really enjoyed it. It did exactly what it needed to do. It was cute. It was fun. You can give it to your kid and make that like their first adventure game to play. It's all about this girl who kind of goes down this rabbit hole, and then she has to save this really broken land from the evil witch. And I'm truly enjoying it. I loved it. It was fun. It was a really quick game, but it was a really fun game. There was some really cool battles in there. She had some awesome moves. I think that if this game had AAA investment in it, that game would actually turn out to be like one of the coolest action games out there, honestly. Like, you can see another version of this game where it's full-on 3D awesomeness, combat like Nier with a smaller amount of weapons, but combat like Nier or something like that, just some really cool swingy shit. There's this little girl who gets to be the ultimate little warrior. And then there's Mortal Kombat 1, a game that I enjoy, but I have my gripes with, because I am an old school Mortal Kombat fan to the death of me. When I say that, I mean like the midway Mortal Kombat stuff, because like I love chess combat, Mortal Kombat kart racing, puzzle combat, and the story mode conquest, where you actually get to run around and there's lore to be found and stuff like that through missions. You get to talk to I can't remember what they are, but Baraka's people. You get to go to all the other realms. Like, I feel like those were great. Now it's just fighting. You get to walk around in a crypt, but not in this one, but mostly fighting. There's this invasion mode, and invasion mode has this board where you get to walk around. It's like the game of life, but on a board, right? You get to walk around, you go to these squares. You got fighting squares, you got boss squares, you got portals that bring you to places with chests, you got tower squares, you have survival square, which is where you just jump over and around these obstacles that just keep getting shot at you, and they're basically inspired by projectiles used by certain characters throughout the game. And it also feeds into the story in the story mode, but I think invasion mode lacks a lot of stuff that it could have had, but it is what it is. It's just, I feel like they've gotten a little lackluster now. And they showed the Omni-Man trailer for the game. Some people are really hyped. It has the cool train scene. Like, I love that scene because it's just so brutal. And it has a throwback to the old Mortal Kombat train map. Other than that, I think the story mode was pretty fire. It has a lot of loose ends and stuff, and I feel like it would have definitely benefited from being like a conquest instead. Even if we played multiple characters, definitely would have been so much better if it had the full conquest effect. But it was pretty cool, did what it had to do. It was fun, funny, enjoyable, and there's definitely going to be some DLC. like, you can see that there's plans to keep going with this and push it forward, so I respect it. I'm very much here for it anyway, regardless, at the end of the day. So there's that. Did you hear? Disney considering purchasing EA. Maybe because of how well they handled Star Wars, and EA was looking to see if anybody wanted it. But I don't think that would be a fun choice, because I feel like if that's the case, EA would become a Disney house. No one wants EA to become a Disney house. They already have such wonderful games that they just need to dig back into and really, really put onto good teams. Like, right now, they're just like relying on Respawn. It feels like DICE hasn't made immediate hit with Battlefield in a while, and they refuse to let them do Mirror's Edge anymore or any other games that EA Studios were working on, it seems like. Which is upsetting, but that seems like that's the case.
I think that if Disney took over, they'd have the money to help fund proper versions of a lot of these projects that EA develops and publishes, but I don't think they do that. I think they would try and turn a lot of their properties into video games. I think EA would end up becoming a Star Wars studio. I think that EA would end up becoming a Mickey Mouse game studio, etc. It would just, they would churn things out, you know? Maybe even become the place to get your Marvel Cinematic Universe video games, which is something they might actually be trying to do. Now, I think Disney should open up its a game studio and invest in it. Like, Disney is stupid rich. I don't know why they didn't come to terms before the strike even started, but Disney is dumb rich. Like, it's ridiculous how rich they are. They could open up a studio and they can do Marvel Cinematic video games, but I don't think they need to make them cinematic video games. I think they need to make them Marvel video games and just make a huge line of multi-platform games, because we could have Wolverine games, we could have X-Men games, we could have Fantastic Four games. Like, we can have good games if people take the time to really invest in them and think of how they want them done. Like, imagine a New Mutants game. Imagine living on Krakoa. Imagine living on Mars. Like, bro, a lot of that shit would be so fucking fire. Something that I would highly, highly, highly be interested in. A rumor sent to my group chat shows a tweet saying Nintendo might make a system with zero backwards compatibility. Or at least there might be two systems. So there might be one with no backwards compatibility and then a system that does still have it. And I think that would be the stupidest thing. And the only reason I think that would be so stupid for them to do at the moment is because they are releasing so many games so close to when they might announce this new Switch. And yes, people always release games well into the next generation, but they're releasing like top tier games like Mario Wonder. If your next Switch is coming out soon and it's not compatible with any of this stuff, either I'd have a Mario Wonder on deck or I would not have announced Mario Wonder and instead held that back, just like they're probably holding Metroid back until the next system. But it's like, you guys also spent so much time porting all your old games over here. Why would you do that? Make another system where no one can play that shit. It just makes no sense. Maybe if it was the Switch after the Switch, then yeah, like if it was a Switch 2 successor, then sure, I can see them not preserving, sorry about that mic stuff, not preserving too much of the backwards compatibility, but I don't know, I just think that's dumb. I can't really see them doing that right now. And even then, Nintendo always tries to preserve backwards compatibility every other generation. Like, the DS kept the Game Boy inside of it until maybe the 3DS or the DSi. I want to say 3DS is when they stopped taking Game Boy games. And then you had the Wii, worked on the GameCube games, worked in the Wii. And then they had the store. Well, actually, I didn't use the store too much, so I'm not sure if the 64 games pulled up on the Wii store. But so far, they've kept backwards compatibility for at least two generations before changing it up. So I really wonder how this is gonna happen. An AI algorithm has been used for Cyberpunk 2077 to emulate the voice of actor, excuse me if I butcher this, Rexxek was his last name, who died in 2021. The company says that they had the family's permission to reproduce his voice and AI, reported to Bloomberg. I am totally fine with this as long as all that is true. The family knows and anything that he was getting from this game, any royalties goes to the family, and it was completely ethical as long as it's not used without permission and it's abused. I'm totally with it. I get it. People pass away unexpectedly and they're in the middle of things that they didn't finish, and there's things that they would like to finish. So it's like, we don't, sometimes we don't want to destroy what they have going on. We can do that later with recasting, but like, if it's in the middle of something, then no, we don't have to. So I'm totally fine with that. The family's fine with that. So that's a comfortable and fine use of AI. Ubisoft was asked about physical games in their future and had this to say. There's a collector's edition market. There's the aspect of gifting physical items and allowing access for people to be able to easily purchase a game in a store and gift to them physical, their friends or family. Some people will always want to own physical disc. I just don't think it's going away. Do I think physical sales might get lower over time? Sure. But will it ever completely go away? I don't think so. And honestly, that's a huge win for Ubisoft to think like that, which means that no matter how they make things, they're always going to possibly try their best to make a physical copy with it, unless the market just forces them out of it. And I respect that. And honestly, even if the market forces me out of it, if you guys put your game on a disc, even if like there's no console to purchase, to play it, I'll buy it. And then I'll buy a digital version because of that. Like, I'll support your digital if you keep giving me a disc. All right, so like, it sounds a little weird, but I like collecting. I like video games, and I like seeing things on the shelf. I like the disc. I like having it. It sucks that I wouldn't be able to put it in the system, but let's say the new Assassin's Creed came out, and there's on the next gen, and the next gen has no disc drive, no detachables, nothing. If they made a collector's edition that had like a disc, and it was like a retro format, and it was like, yeah, if we could put this on a disc, it's right here and you could play it if they ever make a disc drive, but right now it's just a collector's item with the actual game on it, hell yeah, I'd buy that in a heartbeat. I'd buy that in a heartbeat, and then I'd go buy the digital so I could play it for now. But if they don't have a disc, I wouldn't do it. Once all this is over, you guys are only getting Game Pass review games. And if there's no disc at all, I'm only reviewing games on Game Pass. I will talk about movies that I see in the theater, things like that, comic books. But until then, you guys still got me, and I'm still going to be buying up all these games. But we'll see. All right. It's been 2 years. But we can finally say yes, it's over, as Microsoft and ABK can now close their deal. Although I heard the FTC still wants some sort of fight, but whatever. Xbox now has an awesome slew of games they can revive and new minds they can use to make brand new games. People with experience, and best of all, better work conditions. That makes me extremely happy. I think we should get 1 to 2 revivals, 4 remakes every year to refresh and update old games that we love, and like 3 or more new IPs every year. They have so many old games now that people should be able to experience. I also think staggered Game Pass release would be great for slow gaming, slow parts time of the year. You know, slow release windows like summertime and non-fall during certain vacations. That way people can always have something to play. It's like, all right, people finally got through their fall backlog through the winter, and games slowing up a little bit on the spring. Let's drop a remake of a very beloved game that hasn't been out for a while, see what the temperature is like, see if we should invest more in this game, and then let's drop a couple things on Game Pass. Like, that would be beautiful. I think that would be smart. I also think that they should use the newfound money they'll gain from this to invest in more teams on other sides of Xbox that people love. More time on development, avatars come back, and achievements being revamped. And on top of that, they now have other experts in game developing that they can have move over to certain stuff. Like, listen, I think COD really should take 1 year off. I know they won't do it because it's a moneymaker. People are crazy. But I think if they develop good enough content, they can take 1 year off every other year. And on top of that, they can free up one of those, a couple maybe, or one or a couple of those awesome teams that be stuck on Call of Duty and have them help other people. Throw a couple people from COD that actually know what makes a really good shooter and a fun shooter without appeasing too much to the tweaker community, and have them help on Halo, have them help on Fallout, Starfield, games that have shooter mechanics that can always use some improvements. People from map design, like, there's just so many people they could throw them around in so many places. You could have some of these teams help with Perfect Dark. Call of Duty has really great cinematics and lighting and stuff like that. So you could have even people who worked on the lighting departments and stuff. Like, it's just, they now have so many people that I think that they can do something like that. I think they can do a little bit of shuffling if they really wanted to. Like, I understand all these studios are in different places, but I feel like they could easily hold a meeting, kind of just see where every single one of their games are at, what everything is cracking like, and then be like, all right, guys, listen, we need some people over here who have this under their belt, and grab a room full of these people, because I'm sure they have a list of all their skills, and just be like, listen, guys, which one of you are okay with moving over to this side for this amount of time to help on this project for this game? More in the debrief if you accept. And it's just like, yeah, sure. So a couple of us will go over there. I don't know. I just feel like they have resources now. Like, they have the most resources that they could ever have, and they should use them. All we need is a Japanese studio or two. Like, mainly Japanese studios, you know? Because I know, what is it, Tango is technically a Japanese studio, isn't it? So there's that. Rumor, the first batch of Activision Blizzard King games on Xbox Game Pass could be dropped or announced on Tuesday, October 17th. Windows Central also reported, expect to see ton of new games hit Game Pass the very minute the deal is finalized. So there's possibility that we might get some games on Game Pass very soon. It also could be people stretching. I wouldn't be surprised if it's people stretching, but I totally get it. I understand. But I'm here for it. We could always use more games on Game Pass. I need more time. You know, once we get this podcast to take off crazy, and you know, it's a once we get this podcast taken off, and you know, it's giving us some money, we can spend more time playing these video games for y'all. Maybe even do some beautiful live streams, because I would love to just stream some of these games for the people who can't necessarily afford them but love listening to us talk about them and whatnot. You know, I just want to give back in certain ways. And I would also do so many giveaways once everything is like lit. But yeah, that's a lot of game stuff, a lot of things to be excited about. Super Mario Wonder also comes out this week, which is actually crazy. There's a Switch emulation that made it playable on PC. Wild. Cyberpunk 2077 devs also said the game was a lesson in avoiding crunch, and I am happy that they are going to avoid crunch with this new game that's coming out, and they're going to let their team properly fucking, you know, rest and work at decent times. Ugh. Spider-Man has the best fast travel as of today, because it's literally instantaneous. There's no loading screen. The loading starts when you click the button, though, is what it seems like. But even then, you don't think that, so it makes you believe that the loading screen is the fastest, and it is, because they don't put you on a screen. You're just looking at the map, and, I mean, we won't really confirm that. We won't really say, hey, that map is the loading screen. We'll look at it and be like, all right, this map, so that's what's over in this area, that's what's over. Oh, shoot, I loaded into the game. I think it's actually cool. We've seen it. There's a video. We got to see it in action, and I can't wait to actually play the game. I don't think I'm ever going to fast travel, though. I'm swinging around everything. I got to get the most out of this game, like, literally as much as I possibly can. There's a lot of there's a lot of fucking games that I still got to play. For y'all, I still gotta play Baldur's Gate 3. I still have to. Oh, wait, hope. Blizzard pulls Diablo Season 2 trailer that got almost everything wrong. It's fumbled some stun locking this streamer with laughter. Interesting. Fuck, yeah. I got mad shit to play. Spider-Man means Marvel still hasn't beaten DC. I'm assuming Batman got like a 98 or something, but I don't really care about scores. I don't know. There was this article talking about how Spider-Man still didn't beat DC, and I'm assuming it's because Batman got like the highest score. Batman is the best superhero game. I'm sorry, it's not because I love Batman. It's literally just the best superhero game, in my opinion. Bethesda exec Pete Hines leaves company after 24 years. He could have did one more year, made it 25. The head publishing at the Starfield dev is retiring and ready for an exciting new chapter, as reported by Kotaku. And it's crazy to see him go, because he is a very, very, very important part of Bethesda. And it's sad. I wonder what he plans on doing next. Because he's just leaving the company, it seems like. But his quote says, "I will begin an exciting new chapter of my life, exploring interesting interests and passions, donating my time where I can, taking more time to enjoy life." Hines wrote, "This was not a decision I came to easily or quickly, but after an amazing career culminating in the incredible launch of Starfield, it feels like the time is right." And I mean, congratulations. He's done a lot. This is certainly not goodbye by any means. Hines continued, "Working with the amazing people, teams, and studios at Bethesda has been a great experience of my life. Love you guys." I wonder what he's going to do next. I wonder if he's going to go back to gaming, because a lot of these people, they leave the companies that they've been with for a very long time, start their own companies again, and game that way, or they do indie games, and it's just like, damn, yo, that's a really great mind that's leaving. So I'm really really interested to see what's gonna happen now. Also, there's this really stupid design for the Switch that I'm looking at right now, and I don't like it. It's like the Switch 2, and it has like fucking four buttons only and one joystick. I don't know what the hell I'm looking at. This looks so disgusting. We're not even gonna talk about that shit. Oh my gosh, that I didn't like what I was seeing personally. Yeah, let's see. Sorry, I had to spit something out, but let's see what else we can get at. Dog, I miss comics so much. Millie Bobby Brown is ready for Netflix series to end. She is ready for Stranger Things to be over with, and she's ready to move on. She says that the show's recording was kind of interfering with her being able to do anything else, and I totally understand that. Netflix is probably going crazy with the filming for that. They probably had really tight schedules and whatnot. So it kind of made it hard for the kids to maneuver and record and other stuff. And I mean, it makes sense. I haven't really seen them in many other things. Like the only thing I could think of off the top of my head was It. And that was only one of them. I don't know what the others were really getting into. iPad Pencil 3. Ooh. New iPads might be announced as soon as tomorrow. That'd be strange. And our own sources indicate that something iPad related landing this week. We might be getting a new Apple Pencil with changeable tips, which the Apple Pencil 2 had changeable tips, but I think these tips are going to be a little different. New tips with different shapes to better fit the user's needs. For example, there will be specific tips recommended for drawing and painting, according to Majin Buu. Interesting. That would be cool. Maybe I'll wait on the iPad just to see what happens because I do need to get my iPad back, but I have no problem waiting and seeing how that goes. iPads are expensive. So, Dragami Games has changed the game design of Lollipop Chainsaw Repop from remake to remaster. Company President Yoshimi Yasuda said on Twitter. The tweet reads, "We have changed the design of Repop from remake to remaster based on your request." Yasuda did not share further details. What the fuck? I was actually really, really looking forward to the full remake of the game. Now I wonder what that's gonna look like. Interesting, interesting, interesting. Someone recreated Zelda Ocarina of Time in Unreal Engine, and apparently you can download it, and that looks really cool. They seem like they did some real cool shit with the lighting. But in other news, one of the last few things to hit on real quick is Saw rumors. Lionsgate greenlit two movies, Saw 11 and Saw 13. Saw 11 to be a prequel, and Saw 13 to be, I mean, 13, Saw 12 to conclude the saga again, starting from the 7th. So it might be ending Hoffman's storyline. Interesting, interesting. I feel like that's fine. We talked about how I feel about if they continued it. I guess that's nothing, too trash. I'm with it. I'm here for it. I like Saw. I have no complaints. I'll take what they give me, I really have nothing negative to say or anything positive to say. It's just like I'm cool. I like more Saw. I'll take it. If the movie sucks, at least the traps are always good. Like, it's always a fun time to watch Saw stuff. I was gonna say something else, but we'll just say Saw stuff. And yeah, back to books real quick. There's a Cyberpunk book out. I haven't finished it yet. I accidentally packed it in my bag, so now I gotta wait to read it again, some more. But it seems like it's pretty cool. I feel like I mentioned it, but I don't think I did. I think it was well after. Ah, you know what? I did record a demo episode before I decided to turn this to a new season. There's a, it's like people meet. They get hired to do this job. None of them know each other. They do this job. It succeeds, and they all go their separate ways. And it seems like so far they're all gonna bump right back into each other. And I am excited to see how this book goes. Also excited to play the Cyberpunk DLC. Hopefully, I get to play that this week or after Spider-Man. I think that's what I'm gonna do. After I beat Spider-Man, I'm gonna go back to Cyberpunk DLC because I want to start from the beginning anyway. So I'm gonna go to Cyberpunk DLC. I just gotta wait till I move because like I don't want to play it unless I got my desk set up, So that's that. That's the plan. I think I'm gonna play Spider-Man on my TV because I don't have my other monitor anymore. And I don't want to clutter my desk. So I think that's what I'm gonna do. I think I'm gonna put it on my TV. All right, guys. I think that might be it for today. That's about it. Make sure you watch your spooky movies, man. We're almost done with spooky month. We're halfway through it. You guys gotta watch those spooky films. You gotta get on that. If I open up the replies, please, please, please reply and tell me what spooky movie have you been watching. You can list all of them. You can list a couple of them. You can list one. You can list your favorite, even if you didn't watch any. But that, or you can tell me a favorite memory of Spooky Month. But I hope you guys enjoy it. Thank you so much. I am very happy to be back. I'm not making any promises, but the goal is to stay on track. Life is tough. There's a lot of stuff going on, but we're never going to stop. Might take breaks, hiatus, but we're never going to stop until I pass. So, yeah, bro. Thank you. Get your nerd on.